I am entitling this session on Proverbs, Be Wise.
Can you give me a minute? 1 minute.
Be wise. Do I need to be wise about that right there? Okay. When I saw this turtle with the cap on, I thought, well, it looks like he's really being wise.
1, 2, 3.
Is that really Teacher's Day?
Be wise. Always give something to the teacher. Happy Teacher's
Wow,
Day.
Wow, thank you.
And all the how come you see that? Open for us.
You know, every year Teacher's Day comes, but they never tell the teachers what day it was Teacher's Day.
It's always a surprise.
I'm thinking, it's not my birthday today. It's not my anniversary. Oh, wow. Thank you, guys. How special.
The fruit of the Holy Spirit.
What a gift, you know.
What's this?
Oh, chocolate.
Chocolate. Sweet.
Wow. Dark chocolate.
Woo. And more fruit.
You guys truly are wise. I don't need to teach this lesson.
But the Song of Songs. The best song ever.
Really? It's your album?
Huh? Yes, my album.
Wow, fantastic.
Okay, so shall we just stand and... Dr. Ring, you have been a blessing to the whole class.
Thanks, Brian.
In many ways. The teaching of the Word of God to me, I believe to all, are so important. Yeah. And it has really, we are not skimming through the Bible, but we are going deep through all the exercises and reading. I thought that's very good. And I think it touched all of us. And as we absorb the Bible, the Word of God, it caused us to extol the Lord.
Okay.
So let's pray Psalm 111. Verse 1. Extol. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our dear Dr. Rick here. Yes. The Lord, you have given him the high calling to serve you. Lord, his sacrificial time to you, sacrificing his life, and this dedication in the Word of God that, Lord, you have given him, it is so precious to all of us. Yes. That I pray, Lord, that you bless him in many, many ways. Lord, you pour upon him your wisdom over and over again. Amen. That we may be glorified. That you may be glorified as we absorb the Word of God, as we love and dwell and read into the Word of God, that, Lord, we may know you and able to extol you, Lord, to praise you, Lord. So, Lord, we want to commit our dear Dr. Reed unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brian. Okay. Thanks, brother.
One more minute,
I think a group photo would be great. How do we get 50 of us in one frame? You know?
That would be our problem.
Okay, your problem.
That is not my problem.
So, you are trying to squeeze in within the frame, right? So try to squeeze in those who are shorter. Please sit down, then the behind one, so we can get as many people as possible. Okay, first two rows, sit down.
Try to see yourself in the picture there.
I stand on chair. Like this,
I'll be for everyone of us.
Selfie. I'm so excited.
us.
Yeah. You guys sit here. I've been wanting a picture like this of all of you anyway, so this is great.
Be careful, please. I'm sorry. All right. Don't step back anymore. Don't step back anymore.
Okay, who else? Everyone's in.
But you can just sit behind. Behind. You can sit. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. When they say three on the count of three, everyone right hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Peace, peace, man, peace.
Not now, on the count of three. One, two, three. Yay. One more boss, last, okay? On the count of three, we'll bless Dr. Rick.
Look at him, everyone.
You bless yourself.
And I bless Sean Yeo. Yeah.
Ready?
Look at him.
One, so we look at him, Dr. Rick, look at the camera.
Three. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you guys.
Do you want to come in?
Yeah, go, fun shot.
All right, thank you guys. Well, you guys know how to do Teacher's Day really well. Even dark chocolate. Brian, I didn't realize you had made your own album on that too. That's great. Brian's not a music student, is he? All right. All right, you guys, let me turn these off again. All right, thank you all. Every year I don't even really realize it's Teacher's Day. You know, we don't have Teacher's Day where I come from. So it's kind of a... Do you have Teacher's Day in your all your countries?
Yes.
You do this in India? You do it in Korea? Do you guys do Teacher's Day? Oh, okay. All right. When I think about this particular book, I think about what you're passionate about. Everybody seems to be talking about, oh, I'm passionate about this, I'm passionate about that. What are you passionate about? A lot of us are passionate about money. You know, Singapore has the highest percentage of millionaires in the world. 16.5% of people in Singapore are millionaires. How does that happen? Except I guess you got a lot of people that are really passionate about money, you know? It's more than that, I know, but a lot of us are passionate about education. I had one of my students so passionate about education. She came here after she got a PhD. She had 46 years of education. 46 years. Her whole life she'd been in school. You know? And she came here, I think this was her third or fourth master's degree after she got, you know, like her PhD. Wow. Others are passionate about power. Controlling people is a big, big deal. Others are passionate about sex. Others, fun. Travel. You know, the whole idea of the bucket list. Food. Passionate about sports. How many of you have ever met someone who said, I am passionate about being wise? Anyone? One? Okay, we're up to 2% of the class now. Now, of all the things that we really need, and all those things I just mentioned are not bad things. You know, money, sex, power, education, these things, they're not bad things. But what if you had wisdom? I mean, real wisdom. You know that when God appeared to Solomon and he gave him the choice of all the things that he could have, Solomon was wise enough to say he wanted wisdom. And so God gave him more wisdom. But even if you do desire to be wise, it won't just happen. So it's good to think in terms of how that can happen. How can you be wise? So I think the book of Proverbs, if you're going to sum it up briefly, it's answering this question. How can you be wise? And so as we study through Scripture, I'm going to call this one, Be Wise. And it's wisdom through Proverbs, through little quick sayings that... quick sayings that we a lot of times we don't even really think about, but we have lots of proverbs, and maybe you don't even really think about it. Modern day proverbs. Let's do a little our little test here. We've got our class here in kind of three different groups. We'll put Shanyo, you guys are group one over here. Put you in the group two here in the middle. And then you all over there, Brian, over you guys are group three, okay? So let's see how this goes, how well you all can determine the proverbs. So I'll give you a point for each one you do. Okay, the proverb for this one is? Bird in hand is worth two in a bush. There you go. All right, so let's see. Yeah, it's group one. So we're going to give a point to group one here. All right, how about this one? All right, you guys said it over here again. Pennywise, pound foolish. That one's pretty easy. All you have to do is just read it right there. How about this one? Very good. Waste not, want not. Whoa. Group one is really... Waste not, want not. All right. How about this one? You can't be doing it on your computer, right? Wow. Birds of a feather flock together. Group one is just smoking group two and group three. What does that mean? It means Chavez and Aminujab, you know, two terrorists, two dictators are going to love each other. You know what I mean? Okay. Okay, ready? Okay, just do it. You guys got group two. Group two, okay. Yeah. That was pretty easy. Just do it. Okay, ready? How about this one? Did I hear? Momo said? Okay, time is money. Okay, good. There you go. All right. This one's probably the most difficult one. You'll have to stop and think about this. I'm going to take a drink of coffee while you're thinking about this.
Heat. What doesn't kill will be stronger.
think of boxing, and when you have a punch in boxing, you're actually, when you're boxing, you're actually doing a stroke. You're doing a stroke. To strike while the iron's hot? No, that is a good proverb, isn't it? A different one. No one's getting this one. I told you this is a hard one normally. This is different strokes for different folks. This proverb came about in 1967 by Muhammad Ali, who was the world heavyweight champion. He said, he watched his people and he said, you know, different ones, you better use a left uppercut for some and a right hook for others. And you have different strokes for different folks that you're boxing against. So anyway, all right, how about this one?
Pen is mightier than sword.
Good. Pen is mightier than sword. You guys are about... You guys are actually at the same time, so I'll give you both a point. This is it. What does that mean? The pen is mightier than the sword. It's a good proverb, isn't it?
Yes.
By the pen, you do what?
Writing.
You're writing, and what you do? What do you do? Yeah, you when you write. How is it more? How is a pen mightier than the sword?
Knowledge.
When you write, you can help change people's thinking. This is how I would say it, I guess. Writing a language changes people's thinking, which ultimately is going to impact culture for good or for ill. A whole lot more than just going in and enforcing your viewpoint on them. Why did I want to be a seminary professor? I'll be really honest with you why I wanted to do this. I wanted to impact your thinking in the Word of God. That's my passion. That's my calling. I want you to hold the Word of God in the highest regard. So it's worth my life. It's worth, you know, so far 39 years of full-time ministry to do that, because I believe that that's a whole lot better than me being trying to enforce Christianity or enforce the Bible on people. I want you to recognize how the words can do that. All right, how about this one? I think I heard it right here. When in Rome, do as Romans do. Yeah. How about this one? The guy's putting grease on that wheel there. There you go, Silas. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. What does that mean, Silas? Tell me what that means.
The more noise you make, the more attention you get.
Well said. The more noise, the more attention you get. You may not have the best idea, but if you shout it out, you know, the people are going to respond to that idea. The grease. You're only going to grease this wheel that's squeaky, right, on a train. You don't worry about the other ones, the one that's squeaking. Okay, here's this one. I heard it right. Was it here? You guys, this side. Okay. Group one. No man is an island. There you go. And this one? There you go, Peter. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Very good. All right. Whoa. They're two behind. Catching up. Okay, how about this one? There you go. A picture is worth a thousand words. This is Kate and Prince William, I guess, right here. All right. I think I heard it from here in the middle. No such thing as a free lunch. It means everybody's paying for whatever you get free, right? Somebody's paying for it. Right? And then you have to think of the Wizard of Oz on this one. What does Dorothy say?
Everything's There is no place like home.
Very good. Very good. There's no place like home. Woo! In the middle. Well, looks like group three has two. Group two has six, and group one is our champion today with some. And you get orange. No, you don't get orange. You know. Here's a proverb for you. Proverbs 24. My son, eat honey. One of my favorite verses. For it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. Isn't that great? Honey was one of the sweetest thing they knew back then. So I love this. This is a command in the Bible to eat something that's sweet. If I was going to update it, I would say, my son, eat dark chocolate. It's good for you. But even better for you than dark chocolate is wisdom. If you like dark chocolate, how much more so you should like wisdom. If you seek dark chocolate, if you're willing to walk over to Serene Center just to get dark chocolate, how much more should you be willing to walk farther than that to get wisdom? Is basically the way that Solomon would be saying it. And if you don't like chocolate at all, we've got all kinds of counselors in the room that can give you counseling. You know? Because you probably need counseling if you don't like dark chocolate. The key word for Proverbs is the word wisdom. All right, there's our key word. How do we say it in Chinese? Chish. Chish. And the components are, Ruth, it is no.
No.
Sun? Oh, is that the word for sun and day?
Yes.
Seriously? In Chinese?
Yes, that's right.
The word for sun and the word for day are the same character?
Yes. Yes.
See how much I've got to learn about China? There's still a lot more Chinese words I need to know. Like thousands of them, you know? Okay, so you put the two together. Can any of you do that? Why would the word wisdom in Chinese be sun and day? No sun or no day? Can you put it together for me? I don't think I can get it. I can give you some theories.
Know your days.
Know your days. Count your days. Yeah, live a life. It does say live a life of wisdom, yeah.
New knowledge every day.
Oh, be learning something every new day. Okay. No, that might be it. How about wisdom is just obvious. Know that it's daytime. So when it's day, things are clear. You can see them. I don't know. I think I'm going to go back to teaching Bible instead of Chinese. You guys are going to have to learn your Chinese from someone else, all right? But you can learn wisdom from the book of Proverbs. You can learn the value of wisdom, which itself is a huge step. And then you can learn the path of wisdom once you see how valuable wisdom is. So I think what the book of Proverbs is telling us is to do both of these. Is to see how valuable wisdom is, and then see the path of wisdom. And it does this through hundreds of sayings and two-line proverbs. All right? You'll see it shifts back and forth in this fourfold chart here of the book of Proverbs. This is how I outline it, and many do. They see the book going from chapter 1 to 22:16. This is all Solomon, all Proverbs of Solomon. Then it shifts to Proverbs from wise men. We don't know who these people were. For a couple chapters, it shifts to 36 sayings. Actually, Solomon's part are 13 sayings in 1:1 up to 9:18. And then chapters 10 to 22 are two-line sayings, 375 of them. So it goes sayings to two-line to sayings, and then back to two-line ones, about 100 or so of them, from Solomon. And then it goes back to wise men. So that's your basic outline is Solomon, wise men, Solomon, wise men. And it interchanges between sayings, which are like longer, like paragraph form, to the two-line proverbs. And it interchanges back and forth from them. The book title comes from the word proverb, which means to be like or to be compared with. So it's comparing something, maybe abstract, and it's, well, let me say it this way. A proverb is a statement which makes a comparison or describes a common experience. So you see something in one dimension of life, the proverb is going to say it in another dimension. It's a word that stands for many words. Or you could actually say that's the Latin title. The title, the idea is something very, very brief, very concise, that will explain a whole lot of other realms of life. And as such, proverbs are wonderful for discussion, especially for teenagers that have short attention spans. I say that as a father who we read stories and to our sons, you know, we would have Bible reading as my boys were growing up. When they got to be teenagers, their attention span got to be very short. You know, they're just wired differently. So we shifted to just talking about one proverb per meal. So we would just say, okay, here's this proverb for this meal. Let's talk about this. So I'd say the proverb, honey is sweet, you know. As you desire honey, so you should desire wisdom. Tell me what that means, you know. And we'd talk about it because they're great for discussion. We have a lot of themes in Proverbs. A lot of Proverbs on speech. You know, hey, did you know that? Oh, I heard that. Well, the way I heard it, you know, people are talking about all these, you know, rumors. Proverbs 11 says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. We all know about that. Some of us, we would trust our life to a person because that person can keep a confidence. Someone else, no way am I going to tell him. No way am I going to tell her. That'll be spread all over the place, right? We all know people like that. We have a lot of proverbs about money. Because, actually, money will show your value system. What do you value? You don't even give me an answer. Just show me your checkbook. Show me your bank statement. I'll tell you what you value. You know? Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Have you noticed that people that have great treasure also have great trouble? Who was it? That just got divorced this week. Can't remember. In Hollywood. Oh, Miley. No, that wasn't the one. But the one. No, it was someone else who got divorced. But his wife that he got divorced from, he'd been married for 9 years. She was his seventh wife. Imagine, seven wives? Anyway, he's 85 years old. Can't remember. Some famous person. Probably doesn't matter because the story's been told over and over again. Would you marry someone that's been married 6 times already? It's kind of a habit, don't you think? You know, there's a lot of trouble marrying millionaires with all this money. You know, better is a little with the fear of the Lord. How about true success? What is really success in God's eyes? One of the things that's truly a sign of true success, here's this, my little saying for you guys, for you men here. One sign of true success is having a good marriage. You know, better to live alone in the desert than with a crabby, complaining wife. I mean, really, would you rather have a little bit to eat with a woman who won't crab at you and nag at you, or would you rather have this sumptuous banquet with the most wicked, complaining wife in the world, you know? It's pretty simple for me, you know? Like a dog that returns his vomit, so does a fool repeat his folly. You know, we look at animals who eat their own vomit or... waste. I'm trying to think of a good word for it. They eat their own waste, and we go, whoa! But then we realize, we don't really think about, people do that. People go do stupid stuff. You see other people go stupid stuff, and you go, hey, I want to go do some stupid stuff. And you go, and then end up doing the same thing, you know? How about diligence and laziness? The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of diligence made fat. This is fatness used in a positive sense, you know? That doesn't mean super overweight. It means that you have enough food, you know? And the people who, you know, who won't even just move the branch just when they're painting it. And then how about American Idol? You know, this is American Idol. You know, the fattest people in the world come from my country, I'm sad to say, because we just amuse ourselves to death and don't get enough exercise, you know. But how about being exercised? Yeah! Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and he'll hate you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great advice for relationships? My wife has a friend who calls 8 to 10 times a day, you know? So I said, we're not using a home phone anymore. We shifted to cell phones and silent mode only, you know? And she won't register her number. So whenever it says no caller ID, we know it's her. Because all of her friends are, you know, you guys pay the extra $5 a month, right, for caller ID? I mean, I do. So anyway. Aren't these great? This is just great advice on relationships, on all these sorts of things. I just love the book of Proverbs. This book has given me so much more wisdom than I would have made a whole lot more stupid mistakes in my life without the book of Proverbs. So how can you be wise is the question the book is addressing, all right? It is the way of wisdom. It's the, well, let me say it this way. And I hope you went to the seminar last week, or in chapel last week, when we had the sermon on these seven verses, first seven verses of the book of Proverbs. I would say it this way. The way to be wise is learn discipline and the fear of the Lord. Those two actually go together, don't they? Why should you read Proverbs? It tells you in the first seven verses. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. All right? Let me jump to what... Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what's right, just, and fair. So, hey... That looks pretty good to me. You want to learn how to have wisdom and discipline? These Proverbs can help. They'll give insight to all types of people, to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. But let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. So some of us, we're young, or we're simple, we're just starting out in our walk with the Lord, Proverbs are great for you. Others of us that have known the Lord for many, many years, and God has given you wisdom, stay in the book of Proverbs. This is saying, to the wise. The wise will listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. In other words, the book of Proverbs is for everybody. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then, especially verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. So you're going to be one or the other. You're either going to fear God, and therefore there's going to be wisdom and discipline associated with that, or you're going to be foolish. The person who does not fear God is deemed in the book of Proverbs as foolish. You could be quite intellectual, but still be foolish. You could know many things, but not really be wise. So how to be wise? Learn discipline and the fear of the Lord. That's the introduction to the book. A second answer to that question, how to be wise, is to value wisdom. That leads to a prosperous life. Why do people not have wisdom? The first 9 chapters of Proverbs tell us. The reason people don't have wisdom is because they don't value it. Obviously, if you don't value something, then you're not going to have it. You know, it's not going to be a priority to you. And you can say that for thousands of things in life. If you don't value your health, you're not going to be healthy. You know, you're not going to go to the doctor. You're going to be like some friends of mine that refuse to go to the doctor. And their wives tell them, would you go to the doctor? Find out whether your widowmaker artery is clogged. And they refuse to do it. And then they die. And a few years ago, when I had some questions about what was happening in my heart, my wife said, honey, would you go to the doctor? I said, well, I've known other people who refused to do that, so I should learn from them. Yes. So I went and I discovered that my artery, the one they call the widow maker, oh, my wife didn't like that one. It makes widows the main artery going into the heart. Mine was clogged 67%. You know, 2/3 clogged. So he said, all right, let's do wisdom here. Let's value wisdom. Wisdom says we need to make some changes here. So we made some changes. I listened to my wife, who is a very, very wise person. You know, we changed our diet, etc. 3 years later, then I went, and my the same artery had reduced. Actually, it was 62%. It was 62% and reduced down to 31%. The blockage went halfway, so I've got a lot more flow into my heart now than I did, let's say, 5 years ago. But see, if you value wisdom, it'll lead to a prosperous life. I'm more prosperous now because my heart's in better shape, you know? And my heart goes out to those women who are married. This is a little word to us men here. Don't be stubborn, obstinate. You know, you think something's wrong with your... I've known people that just want... I know one guy who wanted to save $1,000 because his insurance wouldn't pay for it. He had plenty of money. He made $95,000 a year. Okay? But he wanted to save $1,000 because the insurance wasn't going to approve this thing. This procedure. I thought, pay it. Pay it out of your own money. It was, well, let's go. This will just take a few months to go through the whole process with the insurance company. By that time, the cancer was way too far advanced and he died. Anyway, sorry I'm getting off on the whole medical thing, but value wisdom. So my question for you is, do you value wisdom? How much do you really value it? My prayer is that you really would value wisdom. You know that if you don't value wisdom, you won't get it. It only comes to those who value it. Wisdom gives honor. It does. I can't go through all the verses here, but verses 10 to 33, wisdom preserves youth from disaster. The book is especially written to youth. It's especially written to people, let's say, under age 30. When you're young and you can make these sort of decisions, it'll set your life's trajectory. Getting to chapter 2, wisdom helps maintain moral behavior. So this is all on why we should value wisdom. Chapter 3, wisdom helps us relate with God and man. And here's where we get our key verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. and he will make your paths straight. Especially good for youth to know how to relate. Making your paths straight means knowing how to relate to God, knowing how to relate to man. Chapter 4, wisdom provides a gracious life. Do you want to show grace in your life? Proverbs 4, 1-9 will help you. It preserves youth from trouble. It produces healthy young people. You just go see the young people who are oftentimes wealthy, but not very healthy. Why? Because they don't have wisdom. They're not valuing wisdom. They make all kinds of bad decisions. They use the money that could be used for good health, and they use it to ruin their health. Proverbs 5, wisdom helps avoid sexual sin. This one is a big deal in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7. Wisdom will help give you discernment. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. He's just really being honest here, that sexual sin is pleasurable. You shouldn't say that it's otherwise. Otherwise, it wouldn't catch so many people. If you have a problem with your eyes, talking to you men especially, but ladies too, make a covenant with your eyes. Job, is that Job 33, verse 1? Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look with lust on a young woman. And this ministry called Covenant Eyes has come about, which is an accountability software for men and for women, where, and I've been an accountability partner with several people, sometimes students or even other pastors. People say, Rick, I want to be accountable to you. I'm going to let you see whatever I see on my computer or my mobile phone. And I say, okay, do it. So they pay this whatever, $10 or $20 a month, something like that. So whatever website that is questionable sends me an email, sends me a report once a week or once a month or whatever. And then I send a text back. I go, hey, what were you doing at 11:59 last night? What were you looking at? You know, it got flagged. And just the very fact that they know that I know what they're looking at midnight, it's accountability. You know, I highly recommend this. There's other ones. There's another one called Triple X Church. XXX Church. It's a freer accountability software for this kind of thing. Anyway, Proverbs also talks about chapter 6 preserves wisdom from poverty, preserves from dissension, again on sexual immorality, preserves youth from sexual immorality. Proverbs 8 has valuable virtues, rewards, and actually wisdom was used in creation. God used wisdom. Hey, if God used wisdom in creation, shouldn't we be using wisdom in creation? So you want to be wise, learn discipline and the fear of the Lord, value wisdom. And then my summary for the third section of Proverbs, chapters 10 to 31, is if you want how to be wise, heed the advice of wise men on relationships. And here's the point. Wisdom is relational. We often don't think of that. We say, oh, wisdom means, yeah, that guy's or that lady's got great insight into all these secret things of life. But if the person can't get along with other people, I dare say the person's not really wise. And you know, if you can get along with people, then you'll have longevity. This is one of my goals here at Singapore Bible College. You know that most people, you know, they shift ministries or shift jobs or whatever because they just can't get along with people. And rather than resolve the issue, relationships, they end up shifting to some other job, location, and some other spouse. And they bring the same kind of garbage into the new relationships. and they don't really learn. And Proverbs can really help you to gain advice from wise men on relationships. So what we find here is 375 two-line Proverbs of Solomon to teach the practical benefits of wisdom over wickedness in everyday life, especially as it relates to people. Right? Again, I have to skip. We get to a final section of Solomon's Proverbs. We have Hezekiah scribes 250 years later in Proverbs 25 to 29. We have wisdom from other people. We don't even know who some of these people were, like Agur, Proverbs 30, but great stuff about wisdom. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four I don't understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, I agree, I don't understand. How does that eagle actually do that? The way of a snake on a rock, really, it doesn't slip along. You know, the way of a ship on the high seas, it goes from here to there, amazing. And the way of a man with a maiden. How does that actually work? Human relationships like that, you know? And we finally get to the end of Proverbs 31, and we see wisdom, the unknown Lemuel, his mother, prepares him to be king. We don't really know who this was, but we know that he talks about wisdom in an acrostic here, an anonymous poem of the noble wife. So we often see this in Proverbs, that the two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And the wise woman here is talked about. One of the theologians, Donald Bloch, says the model of wisdom in tribal patriarchalism is a brood mare. Who's the ideal woman in the tribes? Yeah, she's a... In hedonistic naturalism, she's the bunny. That's the model woman, the plaything. In the feminist ideology, the model woman is a self-sufficient career woman. In romanticism, she's the fairy tale princess or the maiden in distress waiting to be rescued. And then in the model woman, in biblical faith, she's a partner in ministry. I love that. So who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. And this talks about all these wonderful benefits of knowing a woman like that. Don't worry. You know, there's all these studies on being the Proverbs 31 woman. Others say, no, stop comparing yourself to the Proverbs 31 woman. Because this really, Proverbs 31 talks about the kind of traits all of us should have. Right? Whether men or women. So these three ways how to be wise can sum up this way. Fear God by heeding his Proverbs on the value and path of wisdom. I think the book of Proverbs can be very helpful for us. Number one, the first nine chapters, to value wisdom. Because if you don't value it, you're not going to get it. And then once you value it, you still need to know the how as well. And all those other proverbs will be very, very helpful for you to do it. So here's what I would suggest. Teach youth Proverbs. This is the book of the Bible that's for youth. Specifically for youth. It's the only book of the Bible. This is my son, over and all. Over and over, it's said in there. Memorize the Proverbs to promote wise living. One of my Bible teachers memorized the entire book of Proverbs, every proverb, in order. And then read one chapter of Proverbs every day would be if you want a good Bible reading plan. Although I will say that'll be challenging because you have so many meaty things, maybe 30 meaty sayings, and you try to go through them all in a day. It's a bit challenging, but anyway. Those are some ways maybe that Proverbs can impact your life a bit more.